Hi, I'm Chad McCord, Director of Missions Mobilization. You are listening to a Mississippi Baptist Convention Board production.
Hey guys, thanks for listening today. I'm John Martin, Strategy Officer for Mississippi Baptist Convention. Tanner Cade is with me here today. We have some great guests with us. We're going to talk a little bit about missions. Missions connections.
That's right. And I feel like since this is Mississippi, we can all relate to what we're experiencing today. So it is another severe weather day in Mississippi.
That's right.
We're recording things a little bit early from when we're releasing it. So you can just guess which day of severe weather this is that we're recording. Yeah. But I have to pause for a moment, John. I didn't prep you for this. But just so y'all know, as you're listening to this podcast, our brother here, John Martin, drove up to his house last night and couldn't get to his house because a tree was across the road. Yeah. And nothing is more Mississippi than this to me.
Yeah. Call Paul-in-law.
I said, what you going to do?
I said, I'm going to call my Paul-in-law and come pick me up on the tractor. Park my car at the shop and him come pick me up on the tractor.
And so you got a lift from the tractor last night, but actually I think you moved the tree a little bit enough, didn't you?
Yeah,
and you got by, so I like the tractor story, though. You should have just stuck with that and got that. But I'm glad you're okay, and I hope everybody, as you've experienced severe weather this spring season, I hope you've been okay. And I know our disaster relief team through Hubert has been on top of a lot of stories. But let's transition to why you click play on this podcast today. We are talking with Greg Spencer from First Baptist Ellisville, and they've had a big week that's been going on this week down there in Ellisville. There's a lot of you plan VBS for the summer. Well, they've kind of transitioned some ministry to this week because they have some special guests from England. City Gates Church is where Andy Reese is from in Norwich, England. And we will hear more from them in just a second. But as we have you here, we do want you to know of a few events. It's hard to believe May is just around the corner. Summer is almost here, and so I'm sure you have all of your summer plans laid out. You have all your volunteers ready for these summer events that you're doing at your church, but just a few things as we get into May. You've heard us say this before, but May 14th is our Church Safety for Minors workshop. Angie Boydston has spent a lot of time on or just organizing this with Ministry Safe and many folks over the years, and she's doing another one. I'm saying she's doing it. She's helping organize another one that's going to be in Byram May 14th. And then May 17th, Rick Blythe is in our stewardship office. He's here to help you in the financial world of leadership of your church, and he'll have a church financial leader seminar at Gareway on May 17th. And then, as we have said before, you may get tired of us saying this, but at the Southern Baptist Convention June 10th, that evening, we will have our Mississippi Baptist Fellowship in Indianapolis.
That's right. That's
looking
right.
Forward to that. But you can see more events at mbcb.org/events.
There you go. mbcb.org.
mbcb.org/events. My brain is in the clouds this morning.
So good to have you guys with us this morning. We're glad you could set aside some time to spend with us. Just so everybody can kind of get an understanding of who you guys are, Greg, we'll start with you. Kind of introduce yourself. Tell us where all you been, man. And then our guest can introduce himself as well.
Well, the list is long, but we'll try to keep it to the most important ones. And the most important one is the current one. And in August, we have been back in Mississippi now for 4 years.
Yeah,
we had a 2-year hiatus in the desert, the Mojave Desert in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And thanks to COVID, we came back to Mississippi. Yeah. But been here at First Baptist Ellisville now for 4 years.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's hard to believe, man.
Yeah, it has been hard to believe.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so I'm Andy. I'm married to Grace. We've been serving the Lord in Norwich for the past 5 years. This coming May is sort of senior pastor of City Gates Church, Norwich. Before that, we were in, I was a number two. Is that what you'd call them over here? Number two, associate pastor.
There it is.
Yeah, in Worcester, England, where you get Worcestershire sauce from.
Awesome. Which I hear is a thing. Love it. Yeah.
That's how you say it, too.
Say it again.
Worcestershire sauce.
There you go.
There you go. That's great. I'm glad you'll never know what you learn here on the podcast. That's great. So I appreciate that brief intro, but the first question we have to ask after that is, let us know about this connection. Like, how has this connection come about, guys?
Yeah, I'll start and let Reese kind of fill in. I was telling Tanner earlier, you know, back in 2012, when Ken Rose was missions mobilization director, the FIEC partnership with the Mississippi Baptist was beginning to get off the ground with a guy named Mike Stringer over in England. And when I was pastoring in the Delta, we're a partner with the church. And so when I moved back to Mississippi later on in 2020, one of the ways that I wanted to engage our people was to be involved with partnership missions. And I knew how productive that was in the past. And for our folks here in Ellisville, we were trying to just really birth some things, trying to create a culture. And so I called Mike. Mike Ray was in charge at that time. And I filled out a little form. And I get an email back, and the information that I have is Andy's information. And at that time, we're coming out of COVID. This is late 2020. Nobody's really doing anything with this partnership. And so we get on Zoom just like we are right now with you guys, and really just hit it off. And I think it's been a cool thing to see the Lord do, because we have such similar interests, theological backgrounds. We don't consider each other heretics, so we're good with that. And we have a lot of the things in common. And again, our people have just we're about to go back again in July for the third year in a row. And then this year, Andy and them decided to join us to reciprocate that partnership.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's really been a great experience. He may tell you differently. I'll let him talk about that.
No, it's been a privilege. It's been an absolute privilege to connect up with First Baptist Church. I mean, for us, there was a bunch of guys who came over from Mississippi in 2019 to an FIEC leaders conference. And there was a little sort of after one of the main talk session for people, if they were interested in just hearing about what it would look like to partner with churches out here in Mississippi. And a couple of my guys went along and they said, look, I think we should have a look at this. So I filled a form. And as Greg was saying, we kind of connected online. Greg made me laugh a lot. He said if I ever came over, we could go and eat a lot of fried chicken. That's not the main reason this is worked.
Pretty high, though. We met on ChristianMingle.com.
Where's this going?
Yeah, that's good. So now you mentioned fried chicken, so now's a good time to talk about food. So I hear that you've had a lot of Mississippi experiences while you've been here.
Wow. Well, I was just saying to my wife this morning, either my shorts have shrunk or my belly's got bigger. So, I mean, it's known as the hospitality state. Is that right? Yeah. I don't know. They have been very hospitable. So we've had some crawfish. I mean, that was just something else. We were around this big, bin bucket thing, and we were cracking off heads and throwing it in for a tiny bit of meat. That was something special. We've eaten frog legs. We've eaten some alligator. My wife didn't agree with her stomach so much, but I've had a good time. I've never eaten anything like this before. It's been quite something.
Yeah. We rolled out the red carpet. And if you know how much crawfish is per pound right now.
That's exactly right.
I had to sell one of my children to make it happen.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I know you guys you've come together with an intention this week though, right? I mean, you know, you guys, it's kind of a cool thing. When we think about missions mobilization, we really think of it one directional, right? But you guys have kind of come over here now to walk alongside First Ellisville. And so talk to us a little bit about the event that you were planning for this week and what exactly was going to be happening.
Yeah, First Baptist Ellisville is a lot like many churches across Mississippi, particularly First Baptist County seat churches. You know, we've been doing like vacation Bible school since people got off the ark. And so, and that takes taken different forms and different shapes. And our folks have done vacation Bible school for many, many years, and they've done it really, really well. But last year, as I kind of looked around as we came out of COVID, you know, I was thinking, is there a better way to do this? And I really didn't have an answer for that at the time, because it seemed like in a lot of ways we were just kind of going through the motions. We were doing what we've been doing, and we were reaching children and doing a good job of that. And so fast forward, we're over there last year with our partnership that we do with them, help them do kind of an outdoor, they call it Holiday Club. And we sat down and Andy says, hey, we would really like to come to you to be a true partnership. And I was like, well, that's great. Well, what are we going to do? And as we sat there and talked, and the more we began to talk, I began to think, well, this may be my out. This may be our opportunity to kind of break out of that mold. And so what we decided to do this year is to scrap our traditional vacation Bible school and take it on the road. Right outside of Ellisville, we have this place called Merchants Park. It's the ballpark in Ellisville. Mm-hmm. And thousands of people there during the middle of the week. And they have one field that's a high school regulation field. Well, we rented that field, and we set up a big circus type tent on the middle of that. And we were doing vacation Bible school out there, and it's new. It's something that people are curious about. They're still not quite sure what we were doing out there. We were supposed to be doing it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Obviously, because of the severe weather today, we had to scratch Wednesday. But that's the main thrust of what we're doing here. But it's the same thing that we've been helping them do in Norwich the last 2 years. So that's where the idea came. And we asked them to tag along and to lead and help us lead in that particular ministry.
I mean, and I want to say to that, it's them coming to us was significant in us trying something new, a new endeavor. So Norwich is a very, very secular city. We are a not dissimilar size to where you are in Jackson. So in the main part of the city, we're about 145,000. There's a sort of probably about 220 sort of in the sort of wider conurbation. But we are an incredibly secular city. So probably about 53% of the population would say they have no faith at all. Mm. That's gone up 10% in the last 10 years. We have a survey every 10 years. It's gone up to about 75,000 people. So they have no religion. And cultural Christianity is dying stroke dead. Wow. And so if you like, you go abroad for missions, and it's just interesting seeing kind of being in a Christian Bible Belt culture. Our mission field is on our doorstep so clearly. The number of evangelical Christians, I reckon it would be about 4,000 in the city, sort of genuinely born again. And the cultural Christianity is dying. So we are trying to engage with people in our community. And Greg and the team coming over pushed us into doing a holiday club, but we wanted to do it not in our building where no one knew where we are, but in a local park where there are hundreds of families in the community every single day. And it's been very, very, very significant for us in terms of starting to bridge the gap, connecting with people who know nothing about Christ. Yeah. And we're engaging with people who are really ignorant to anything about the gospel. Mm. So I just want to say the partnership really has helped us. I know that's probably a future question you want to ask us, but...
Yeah, and it's the same with us. In order to, you guys know, you're Mississippi Baptist pastors. You know, trying something new is not always the most welcoming thing to do. Yeah, yeah. For us, it was the same way this year. We kind of talk about it this way. They force us to get our act together. Hey, we got company coming, and we better get everything in order. And it helped us kind of push us a little bit to do that. We had, our children's ministry director told me we had 92 volunteers step up to do that. We actually had more volunteers than children. One of the things that we have found so super helpful is not only providing this for our community, but for our church family, serving together, fellowshipping together. That is where it has created probably the most value for us personally. And it has just been good. I've just been hearing even testimonies this morning of people saying, Pastor, thank you for doing this. Glad we did this. Let's do it again.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And Andy, I want to hear a little bit about your team that's come over here and how that's worked with the church volunteers. So what kind of team did y'all bring over here to Ellisville? And how has, Greg just mentioned the volunteers from the church. How has your team, are y'all helping lead out or tell these volunteers what to do? How's this dynamic working for you guys?
So there's about 15 of us who've come on over, and they're all people who are heavily involved in what we call our summer fest. Mm-hmm. So our holiday club and all the other things that go around it, a fun day and that. But they are people who have been involved with the American team, the team from Mississippi, who have come and served with us. So lots of them already have relationships with the guys who have come on over. So it's been a very natural thing for us to come back because there's already a lot of friendships there. Yeah. So, for us, one of the joys has just been the fellowship. it's been the fellowship with these guys, also seeing the Christian world they live in. And there is a unique bubble in terms of what you experience here in Mississippi as compared to uber secular, the United Kingdom. But in terms of the Holiday Club, and we've you know, they've been leading everything, really. We've just been involved serving in different areas. So, you know, some of our team have been involved in leading kids groups, a couple of people involved in the drama at the front, other people helping with the sound desk. So it's been a real mixture of things. The team here have run it. We've just kind of come alongside and just sort of helped. And I think probably our presence, the fact that we've been coming here, has helped galvanize something new.
You know, I want to back up to something that you said about the, you know, the no religious preference, the popularity of that in England, and many people feel like that we're becoming, the United States is becoming a post-Christian nation at this point, and it seems as if we're on that same trajectory as England is now. We're not, maybe it's not as rapid, so. The number of nuns, which is what we call those who have no religious preference, it grew like 2.9% over the last since 2017 or something like that. But obviously, Mississippi is, it seems to be trending that direction. So from your perspective, England having already experienced that shift, any insight that you have to American Christianity, our American church leaders?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you do you want to say something? You're about to get going. Look, we are where you will potentially be in 20, 30 years' time. So I think that, you know, for your people coming over and seeing and experiencing that, that is helpful. I mean, look, just two examples. My barber, British barber, English guy, early 20s, grown up in the UK. It was Good Friday. It was just coming up to Good Friday. And I said to him, do you know what happened on Good Friday? And he said, I have got no idea at all. And but another barber in there, guy in his early 20s, white British, he said, oh, I know. It's when Jesus was born. We did a Easter egg hunt. This was a couple of weeks before Easter, and you know, people came. We probably, there's about 150 kids we connected with. About 130 of them had nothing to do with church. They went around different stations around the park and had to answer questions to get stamps to get their Easter egg. One of the questions was, who betrayed Jesus? And these were some of the answers: Moses, Cain, Joseph. So I just want to say, what we're dealing with this younger generation is ignorance. It's not that they know what we are saying. They just know nothing, absolutely nothing at all. And so I think, interestingly, with this, with the younger generation, someone put it like this, we're kind of educating before we're evangelizing. We can't go straight in and say, you know, Jesus Christ has died for your sins, because they'll say, well, well, who's Jesus? Are you talking about Jesus who plays for Arsenal FC? soccer? You know, it's genuine ignorance. And yet in the midst of that, there's a mixture of hostility. There is some hostility toward Christian ethics, particularly around sexuality and gender and all that stuff. But I think there is a hunger, because I think there is a hopelessness. So we're starting way further back with people. Than we ever have done. And I just think, so there's one guy recently, I mean, we're seeing a trickle of people become Christians in a really exciting way. And there was a guy who was brought up in a completely atheistic home. His grandfather was dying, and he'd lost, his grandfather had been really successful in life, being a philanthropist. And he said to him, do you know, all I've done in my life has been pointless. Now, his grandfather had no Christian hope, but this sent him on a trajectory. Someone shared the gospel with him. He was reading a lot of C.S. Lewis and Tim Keller and listening to some of my sermons, and we were meeting online. He became, he became very clearly converted. He told his mum, she was horrified that he'd become a Christian. We baptized this guy. And the thing I was struck by, I was just meeting with him saying, shall we pray? And he said, well, what do I do? And I was like, wow, you have grown up in a context where you have never prayed before.
Yeah.
So he'd genuinely become a Christian, and I was having to teach him how to pray. And I just thought, we are entering into a very different world, you know, in terms of our discipleship, in terms of the people we're reaching out to. Greg, what do you want to...
Well, what I would say is, obviously, in Mississippi, we have, you know, a lot more cultural. Like, it blew Andy's mind the other day. We walked into Walmart, and you could actually, in Walmart, buy T-shirts with scripture on it, you know, and things like that. They would never see anything like that. But what has been helpful with our people to experience that is that now they've seen it and have a good idea of what's coming. It helps them. It helps their worldview and helps them process what evangelism and discipleship looks like for us for the rest of their life, the next 20, 30, 40 years, to get ready for it and to really change. Because even though we're not that closed off, there's a lot of cultural ignorance around us too. Yeah. I mean, there's that cultural Christianity. And sometimes here, you know, you got to make sure people got to understand that they're lost before they can become saved. Mm-hmm. And you know how it works. You know, you start questioning them about faith things and they get defensive and things like that. But building those relationships are vitally important. But it helps you understand what evangelism and discipleship looks like moving forward.
Yeah, yeah. We face some of that. You know, when we, a couple of years ago, we put some statistics out about lostness in Mississippi. And the statistic is that 33% of Mississippians basically have a relationship with Christ. Yeah. And you would not believe the phone calls that I got in my office. I want to see those statistics. Where did you get that from?
Yeah.
Is that real? Because it's not believed, right? Yeah. And I think your people getting this experience of this is the future, you know, it's got to be helpful for your guys. So
very much so.
And something you said earlier, Greg, that I appreciate is that during COVID, coming back, trying to look at things like VBS and what we're doing here, I appreciate your thought and your context there to say, all right, do we need to change this? Is there something different ministry-wise that we need to do? Because just from my role, this is Tanner Cade speaking, I didn't think I was going to lay this out there in this podcast, but it was intriguing to me how many church leaders just ran back to what we used to do ministry-wise pre-COVID when we didn't think outside the box and just think, well, where does God have us going right now as a community, as a country, and how can we reach people in new ways in the days ahead? And you've kind of spoken to this next question that I wanted to get to anyways. Just talk about that partnership. Like, obviously, you spoke to how your folks, Greg, are benefited by going to see the context spiritually in England. Yeah. And so can you talk about how that has maybe grown your church in the missional thought, the evangelistic fervor, I guess?
Well, if probably I know a lot of people that will be listening to this. If you know my heart, missions has just been a big part of my heart for a lot of years. But I have discovered as a pastor, one of the greatest leadership tools for a pastor is missions. Taking people on mission trips, spending time with them. For as a pastor, they get to hear your heart, where you feel like the vision is of your church going moving forward. And then therefore, when they come back, they are leaders. And so this partnership has been good in that, first off. But second of all, it's giving our people a chance to work towards something. And that partnership, I think, is so valuable. I really, to be honest with you, when we do missions, I really like to partner with a local church. I know parachurch organizations are great and all those things like that. But if we're not tied to a local church somewhere, I'm not as excited about that because we want to see City Gates Church flourish. And that's what we're there for, to be a help, to be a benefit from. And but in the meantime, you know, your people just... You know, they grow, have a heart for the nations. And as a pastor, man, you can't ask for anything more.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And obviously, Andy, I'm sure your team, as you all have come over here, I'm curious, how has this dynamic of coming to the States impacted your team?
Wow. It has been a phenomenal experience. I mean, I think one of the big things that struck me, as you immerse yourself in another culture, and I'm not saying I fully understand all of your culture, right? But having had a week here and sort of being immersed in this world, it helps me to understand my culture better. There's something about being taken out of your own context and being put in a completely different context and swimming in the waters, and it makes you go, ah, okay, I understand a bit more about what my world is actually like now by having come here and experienced what it is for you guys. So I think that, for me, has been really quite significant.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, Greg, how long do you think churches should, as if you start a relationship, a partnership with a church internationally, how long should that relationship be, that partnership? Well, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's different, you know. Originally, I would have said, you know, 3 years and it's time to, but this spring, Summerfest event that they do, they have committed to do it for 5 years. Okay. And I told them from the get go, hey, we'll commit to you to do this for 5 years. And so, usually 3 to 5 years is what I would say is kind of the floor. And then you just kind of have to feel it out as you go forward. You know, financially, can you sustain it? And are you actually helping at that point or getting in the way?
Good deal. Thanks, guys, for your time today. I don't know if the listeners can hear it, but it is thundering in Ellisville.
It is.
Yeah, Andy, what you were saying is so powerful.
The thunder is coming behind you.
I see the window flashing behind you there. So.
Yeah. So, of course, you know, Greg, you guys made this connection initially through the connection of the Mississippi Baptist Convention Board, and we just would say that Chad McCord has connections all over the world.
Yes.
And so, but obviously, Greg is available as well. You guys can reach him going to the FBC Ellisville website, I'm sure, get his contact information there, and maybe something that's been said today intrigues them. But please. But if not, as we said, you can reach out to Chad McCord. He has lots of connections that can be made. He told me this week that he's going to Poland in December. And I said, that sounds like a terrible idea to me. Poland in December does not sound fun. But
that's Chad, man. That's Chad. He's the go-getter.
Yeah, that's so right. But he had literally all over the world to make these connections. I think we've heard from you guys that it's mutually beneficial, and so make those connections for your congregation.
And I have to say this, or else Chad will get on me, but he told me this morning before we came in here to record, so there is an opportunity right now for Mississippi Baptist Church to partner with a church in the UK. It's not Andy's church, but there's another church. Greg, you may know what church this is, but Chad can help you make that connection now. So if we're talking about UK, there's something right now. If you're thinking your church is looking for an opportunity, contact Chad McCord.
Greg, there are many more that I think are interested. And seriously, reach out to Chad, reach out to me. We really want to see this partnership to flourish and continue. And Pastor Andy on his end, he's shaking the bushes as well.
Yeah.
And we want to see it happen because I think it could be very helpful.
Good deal. Thanks, guys, for your time again. We appreciate it.
Yeah, this has been great. Sorry there was a little bit of rain, thunder, messed up your plans. I feel like we need a seminary class on severe weather and ministry in Mississippi, right?
Yeah, I told people the other day, I'm going to ask the Lord when I get to heaven, why do you always do this on Wednesday?
Yeah, exactly.
It's tornadoes and ice on Wednesday.
That's right. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.